the sermon for the first Sunday of Advent, the text, Isaiah 64, 1 to 9. We cannot stand alone. When Paul Simon and Art Garfunkel sang, "I am a rock, I am an island," they were really whistling in the dark. Later in the song, they themselves admitted that their claim to being independent was really just a self-protective response to disappointment in love. "If I'd never loved, I never would have cried," they sang. In the final verse, they also revealed that they weren't really so much free of needing other people as they depended on something else for meaning, for comfort, and for belonging in life. "I have my books and my poetry to protect me. I'm shielded in my armor, hiding in my room, safe within my womb. I touch no one and no one touches me. I am a rock. I'm an island. And a rock feels no pain. And an island never cries." It's true. A rock does not feel pain, nor does an island cry. But neither do they live. Books and poetry can offer a sense of meaning and comfort and belonging to those who have been hurt by others. They can put a wall up around themselves to protect themselves, but these don't necessarily help them to live. To live, we need each other, and we need God, for He created us this way. Like the person in Paul Simon's song, though, we struggle with the pain, the frustrations, the misunderstandings, the betrayals, and the failures we suffer in personal relationships. Our hearts are broken, and they go searching for comfort and meaning and security from someone or something other than the God who commands us to love our neighbors as ourselves. We look for shelter in things that we like, in beliefs that promise us happiness, and in work that offers us the hope of success. By trusting in these self-chosen gods, we can live our whole lives under the illusion that we are rocks and islands. But when we die, our illusions will vanish like smoke before the bright presence of God. And if we've insisted on standing alone in life, we'll perish under His judgment. But our condemnation is not God's will. He graciously works behind the scenes in our lives, allowing us to experience problems and troubles that have the power to show us that we need more to live than new cars or books or executive homes, high self-esteem, popularity, power, or a portfolio with impressive accomplishments. We need Him. Isaiah prayed the prayer that is today's Old Testament reading for the sake of his descendants, that they would know where to turn when their lives were turned upside down and the things that they had relied on for life all let them down. As Babylonian soldiers crushed the armies of Judah, the soothing promises of the lying prophets who had said that God would never bring judgment on His holy city, Jerusalem, sounded mighty hollow indeed. The impressive, exotic, statuesque gods of the other nations were shown up for the powerless, cheap fakes that they really were. They weren't able to protect the people from Babylon. The proud, boasting kings who claimed that they were ruling with the best interests of Judah in mind were silenced by their conquerors and dethroned. With all their mistaken and false trusts gone, where else could Judah's wayward, lost people turn but to God? "Oh, that You would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains might quake at Your presence, as when fire kindles brushwood and the fire causes water to boil, to make Your name known to Your adversaries, and that the nations might tremble at Your presence. When You did awesome things that we did not look for, You came down, and the mountains quaked at Your presence. From of old, no one has heard or ear perceived. No one has seen a God besides You who acts for those who wait for Him." On their behalf, Isaiah prayed, asking God to come to His people again to save them. Isaiah's is an Advent prayer for God to come to His people after they had turned from Him in unbelief and rebellion. It recalls Mount Sinai, where God descended in fire and smoke to declare his love for his people, joining himself to them by his covenant. It praises God as the only one who loves, lives, and acts for the salvation of those who wait in faith in him. It's a prayer of repentance, acknowledging that Judah could not stand alone in life. She was not free to make a life for herself, for however she chose, the way she chose for herself, all led her to death. Behold, you were angry, and we sinned. In our sins we've been a long time, and shall we be saved? We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind take us away. There is no one who calls upon your name, who rouses himself to take hold of you. For you have hidden your face from us, and have made us melt in the hand of our iniquities. It is also a prayer of grace and hope, for Isaiah knew that God wishes nothing but life and peace for his creatures. With trust in God's goodness and mercy, Isaiah prayed for forgiveness and restoration for the people who would suffer God's wrath at the hands of Babylon. But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are our potter. We are all the work of your hand. Be not so terribly angry, O Lord, and remember not iniquity forever. Behold, please look, we are all your people. Today this prayer comes to us to give us words to speak to God as we together enter the season of Advent. Perhaps you are in the midst of troubles that threaten to shake the foundation of your life apart. Take heart and turn to the Lord in prayer with Isaiah. You are not a rock or an island. You are God's beloved. He heard and answered Isaiah's plea. God tore open the heavens and came down among us, not with fire or earthquake, but as a man from Nazareth named Jesus. Jesus placed himself into the hand of our iniquity and allowed it to kill him on the cross as his Father hid his face. But on the third day, before the sun could rise to wake up Jerusalem, the Father's face shone again with pleasure upon his dear Son, and gave Jesus resurrection life. And Christ is our life. He is our peace with God and with each other. In his gracious promise of forgiveness, we hear his call to faith and life. In him we have meaning, security, and everlasting belonging. His love never lets us down. As we trust God our Father with our lives, and we live to love and serve other people, we will certainly be hurt at times. We may need to cry, but we need not retreat behind imaginary walls that cannot really protect us and pretend to be rocks and islands. Jesus and his love for us dwarf the very sorrows of our lives. He stands ever ready to help us through griefs and trials, and he will finally carry us from death to eternal life with him. Praise be to the God who comes to us to save us. Amen.